The most difficult lecture, and I don't know if we'll be able to do it or not, but we'll attempt it. So today will be an experiment to see if one can be that which you are and also talk about it. The capacity to function in the world for many years was occasioned by first, well, I withdrew and avoiding the world is how I handle the world. Yeah, by not going there and returning to a small town. Then the capacity to function gradually returned by some kind of intention that came from elsewhere. And the capacity to function in the world, even till now, is occasioned by humor. It was discovered that humor would allow you to relate to the world and still be in that inner state. And therefore, my usual style socially has to do with humor, because the world is an endless comedy and in which everything gets converted to its opposite, totally confused and misrepresented, and much hubbaloo is made about that, see? In which cause and effect, perpetrator and victim are totally reversed, which I'm describing in the book I. The impact of the Luciferic. Everybody's concerned about the impact of the satanic. War, rape, killing, murder, blood, and grime, and stuff like that. More subtle and more powerful, really, is Luciferic, which distorts and reverses things in such a way as to confuse reality, so you can't see reality anymore. It's the Luciferic that opens the door to the satanic. That's how war comes about. First, you have to confuse the people as to who's the perpetrator and who's the victim. And that opens the door, and then through the door comes the satanic with its guns and its murder and its killing. But first you have to prepare the few with the Luciferic. One of the purposes of Luciferic is it's very profitable. That's why deep pockets are traditionally demonized in our society. Eat too many hamburgers, it's their fault they sold them to you. No, I'm overweight. I mean, you see the perpetrator and the victim, yeah? The perpetrator is really the guy who eats too much, and the victim is really... And now we're going to turn around, see? So you see that happening all the time with war. You see that war is always preceded by the Luciferic distortion that, oh, those guys aren't that bad. We don't have to make any preparation for it. They aren't that bad. Yeah, right. They aren't that bad. That cost 70 million people in World War II. You know, 70 million people. They aren't that bad. No, sir. Well, they were. So the denial, you know, and the reversal of... So, therefore, the world is an endless comedy. And if you can stay in the comedy of it, you can still be in a very good place within yourself and still function within the world. The pathway of the heart, of course, is one of the great traditions. What we've been talking about up to now is primarily the pathways through non-duality. The pathways through non-duality. We've been talking in terms that are familiar to students of Zen and Buddhism and traditionally non-duality. The pathway of devotion through the heart takes the form of karma yoga, devoting all one's actions to God, and devotion, in which Christianity probably is the most prominent in the world today, prominent teacher traditionally of the way of the heart. And Mother Teresa would be, let us say, an example of the unconditional love. There's many programs available to everyone, of which the 12-step programs, the Course in Miracles. And these are all pathways of love. These are all the pathways of love. The willingness to forgive and forget, let bygones be bygones. And then the Course in Miracles takes you even beyond that. So the 12-step programs take you to unconditional love, which is the ultimate aim of Christianity, taught by Jesus Christ. To love your enemy as yourself, to forgive them, unconditional love towards all that exists, calibrates at 540. Traditionally, if you get to love, you don't have to worry, because as you leave the body, you will go to that which you are, which is lovingness and a heavenly state. Huh? How to arrive at those stages? So the first lectures we gave were trying to take apart the obstructions to love, so that once you remove their underpinnings, when they come up as an obstacle, they're much easier to let go of, because you realize that what you're talking about in these obstacles to love are always perceptions, how you perceive something. So if we see how the ego puts together perception, we can disassemble it when that block comes up. And you realize, for instance, all the pathways of love talk about forgiveness. But forgiveness truly is not possible if you continue to see somebody as bad, evil, wicked, at fault. It's only when you can remove your own projections and your own perceptions and not label them as anything that you realize that basically they are innocent, that they don't know any better. So that way you can stop hating them. You can forgive them for not knowing them. So forgiveness is not really possible until really, you know, at a certain degree, you transcend dualistic perception, which labels everything as good and bad, deserving and undeserving, etc. So the doorway to unconditional lovingness is sort of the dawning on you that everything is innocent. Everything is innocent. Some are conscious, some are not conscious. That's the difference. Unconscious innocence will kill you in the name of Allah. And unconscious innocence will kill Islamics for Jesus. And I told you about the lifetime where I killed we were both crusaders, and he was there for Allah, and I was there for Jesus. And as we killed each other dinner in a mackerel, we went out of body and both burst into hysteria. It was so funny, it was hysterical. I'll never forget it. I said, "Jesus, I did it for Jesus." He said, "I did it for Allah." Well, it was an important point. We both knew it, too, that we transcended a really max point of the evolution of consciousness. So periodically throughout time, we've been buddies. You know, when he needs somebody to kill me or I need somebody to kill, he volunteers and we do each other in and transcend that level. So that's love of the highest kind. It helps you reach enlightenment. Of course, you can't do it that way. You've got to give them a fierce fight or it's not real. So within this world, you see, all those things to us are very, very real. And if they're not very, very real, because if you realize it's a game board, it's not very real to you anymore. And you can't get the lesson out of it that you were seeking. You've got to actually be terrified of death in order to walk through death. Once you realize it's a game, you can't do that anymore. All right. So we're going to talk about love to the degree that we're able to talk about love today. And if love takes over, we may or may not continue talking about love. As those states, it's best to have close friends around you. If you're really going into spiritual work, seriously, it's advisable to have family, friends, be in an ashram, or at least have spiritual friends who are able to be of assistance should you become incapacitated, which is quite possible. Yeah. And sometimes you don't know how you're going to get here, but your friends put you in a car and they put coffee in your hand and they drive you here, so that's how you get here. And then Nico meets you at the door. It's better to have somebody at least over 200 pounds who waves through the crowd. So assistance appears magically, you know.